This week I had a lot of interesting things I had to do, and one of them, unfortunately, was a funeral service for a cousin. And but it makes me feel blessed to be able to be here, and it's exciting. Thank you. I praise the Lord that you guys love him enough to show up today to serve, because your presence is an encouragement to those of us who are here. And so we just want to praise you, Jesus, because you're awesome. Isn't it awesome that the Lord's given us another day? I mean, there are people in this world who have really difficult trials and struggles that they're going through. And we are here today. We can praise him freely. We can lift our hands and worship. And he is a good God. Amen. All right, so let's open up his word here. If you have an outline, hopefully you do, because I'm going to jump around a little bit today. But we're going to start in Genesis chapter 3, I believe, or John chapter 8. If you don't have an outline, there's one in the back there. I'm sure that an usher can bring you one, or you can go grab one real quick. But anyway, so welcome everybody. And I wonder if there's anybody here today that is excited to hear the word of God. Amen. All right, good. So great to be with you guys. We are still in our series called Summer to Stand, and I'm feeling a little claustrophobic, so I'm going to move this stuff back a little bit. But yeah, we're in that series, and I hope you've enjoyed it, because we looked this whole summer at just ways for us to stand in different circumstances, crises, and challenges in our life. We looked mostly at the book of Daniel, but today we're also going to take a little bit of a turn to finish off the summer, because we're finishing the summer and beginning fall. And more importantly than that, I know, even though I think only one of our teachers is here today, how many know that when school comes back in, temptation comes, all right? For teachers too, right? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, so it's important, right? And so I believe that we'll return with the return of school comes maybe the return of temptation. So we want to talk about what do we do when the devil comes knocking, right? So we're going to talk about standing up to the deceiver. Again, if you have your outline today, you can follow along. But it's incredibly important, I believe, in our spiritual journey for us to learn how to do spiritual battle. And let me just say up front, some people have said, well, you know, Pastor, why do you want to talk about the devil? But what I really want to do is I want you to understand that this is not a devil-glorifying teaching, okay? Not at all. But what we want to do is we want to better understand the enemy so that we can better fight against the forces of darkness. Amen? All right, so I'm going to start with something that's kind of interesting. And I think that if you asked me, what is the greatest deception of the devil? What is the greatest trick that our enemy has actually convinced so many people of? I would say that the greatest trick that the devil has ever pulled off is just convincing so many people that he doesn't exist. Okay? Now, because, you know, we can believe in God, but certainly there's no forces of darkness. And I hope you'll understand that the devil is real, and the devil is not some little guy with a red suit, you know, with a pitchfork and a tail and horns and that kind of thing. But there is a spiritual battle, the Bible tells us, that is going on every single day between the good and the evil. Okay, and of course that is the Lord and the enemy. And so our God, the Bible says, is a God of light. The devil is the God, small g, little god, okay, of darkness. Our God is the God of truth. The devil is the father of lies. Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. The devil came to what? To bring death, to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's what the Bible says. So Scripture actually teaches us that our battle is not against flesh and blood. In other words, you're not doing battle with your brother-in-law or your boss or your friend. Maybe sometimes it seems like that, but it's not the case. You see, you're not just in a battle against some coworker that drives you crazy. Your battle is not against flesh and blood, the Bible says, but against powers and against principalities of this dark world. See, and that's why today we're going to dive in for a couple of weeks just as we, again, begin fall and just sort of re-enter into, school and the whole season, the whole year, we're going to talk about fighting against the evil one in our series. Okay, we'll finish it up. So, now let me give you a little bit backstory about the force of darkness. And again, this is going to be very paraphrased, very glossed over, and you'll just have to, research it for yourself. We can dialogue about it better. But here it is, and I'll help to set this up for you today, okay? A lot of people don't realize, but before the foundation of the world, we know that God created the angels, archangels, etc., okay? In other words, he created Gabriel, Michael, and this other little guy named Lucifer, okay? Now, Lucifer was actually, it appears, that sort of a worship leader or the worship angel in heaven, beautiful, full of wisdom and glory. The problem is that Lucifer actually became very jealous of God. God was getting the glory, right? Of course. And Lucifer wanted the glory. And so he fell into pride, essentially pitted himself against God because God says, I will not share my glory with anyone else. And so Lucifer wanted the attention. God said, no, sorry, pal, you're not going to get it. Cast him down out of heaven. And Lucifer, according to the Bible says, took, if you will, a third of the angels with him. And those are what we would know as the forces of darkness today. Okay, very loose paraphrase of the story. Now, how does that or why does that matter to you? Well, what you need to understand is because you are created in the image of God and because the devil hates God, right? He hates you. And the devil will continually come after you. And if he's not attacking you, see, it's not that he's going to attack you, it's that he's already attacking you now. And this is the message that I want to bring, and it's designed to help you arm yourself, to equip yourself when the devil knocks, okay? And so I believe with all of my heart today that the devil will try to keep you from hearing some of these things, and more importantly than that, he'll want to distract you and keep you from actually living this stuff out, okay? And so that's why it's so important, because I believe that we don't want to just hear the word, we actually want to live it every single day. Amen? So here's something interesting. C.S. Lewis said this, there is no neutral ground in the universe, okay? Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. See, there is no neutral ground in the entire universe. Every square inch, every split second of time is claimed by God or counterclaimed by Satan. So let me show you what we're going to talk about over the next few messages. Today, of course, we're going to talk about the quality of the evil one. We're going to talk about or call him the deceiver. The Bible says he is a deceiver. Satan is the deceiver who attacks your mind with lies, right? He lies to us and tries to take us away from God and away from God's truth. And so we're also going to talk about Satan as the accuser. What does he do? He attacks your heart with accusations. See, you will never be blah, blah, blah. You're not going to be good enough, right? He accuses you on and on and on. And then we're going to talk about him as the destroyer. Satan is the destroyer who attacks your will with pride. He is the deceiver who attacks your mind with lies, the accuser who attacks your heart with accusations, and the destroyer who attacks your will with pride. So, we begin with John chapter 8, verse 44. Let's start with the deceiver. Satan is the deceiver. And this is what Jesus said about Satan in John chapter 8, okay, verse 44. He says, the devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So anytime he speaks, he's lying. Someone once said, well, how do you know that the devil is lying to you? Well, anytime he moves his lips, Okay? He cannot speak truth. He always lies. And this is his strategy. For those of you who are hypochondriacs, he gives you something to worry about, right? He'll give you a pain, and then he does that so he can tell you what it is, right? Uh-oh, it's the end. You know he's lying if his lips are moving. So he did this. It was his first strategy. He attacked Eve in the Garden of Eden, and today he's probably attacking you. And so we're going to see that he actually does that. He attacks, though, here's the important thing, the authority of the Word of God with lies. Okay? Crazy interesting to me when you think about it, because there's so many ways that the devil could have attacked Eve, but he didn't. There's so many ways that the serpent, and we know, of course, the serpent was a physical form that Lucifer took, and the evil one, right? The serpent came and deceived her. But how did he do it? Think about this. How did he do it? He did it by attacking the Word of God. Okay? Again, there's so many ways that the serpent could have tried to attack Eve and take away her heart from the Lord. He could have preyed on her insecurity, right? He could have just said, hey, Adam doesn't really love you. I mean, he's sick of hearing about your feelings all the time. You know, and he wants, you know, he wants to go back to his man cave, like literally, all right? And he wants to stay there forever. You remember, he thought it was better when it was just him and the animals, you know? And by the way, he wants his rib back, okay? There's so many different ways that the serpent could have tried to create questions, but what did he do? He attacked God's word, see? He did it in two different ways. And if you're taking notes, the first thing is the deceiver did. He did this. He's deceiver. What did he do? He questioned God's word. He questioned God's word, right? He questioned God's word. Genesis chapter 3 now, if you follow us there. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It says, the serpent said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? Did God really say? Notice the deceiver did not deny that God had spoken. Instead, what he did is he questioned what God had actually spoken. And this is what the deceiver does to us today, right? He'll try to question. He'll try to plant seeds of doubt. Eddie, do you really believe that the Bible is a book from God? I mean, come on. Surely you're smarter than that. I mean, you're not that naive. You're not naive enough to think that there was an actual creator that just spoke and created everything, right? I mean, surely you're intellectual, Eddie. And you're intellectual enough to believe that everything just exploded and then, you know, just kind of all fit together and now we're here. I'm sure you wouldn't be that naive, right? Or, hey, God didn't really mean that. I mean, not for you, not for today. I mean, that was hundreds of years ago, but today's 2000 and whatever, and this year, we've evolved way past that stuff, right? Besides, God loves you so much. If God really loves you, he would want you to be happy. He would want you just to do whatever makes you feel good. Do whatever you want, right? Because God loves you. And see, what he does is he questions God's word. He gets you to question God's word on your own. And evidently, Eve started to question God's word as well. So let me show you why I believe that's true. Because God told her that she could eat freely. God said, you may eat freely from all of these trees. Right? Eve, go ahead. Eat that one. Eat that. Eat that. Just not this one. Okay? And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eat freely from everything else. Just not from that one. Right? I love you, Eve. You're blessed. Go for it. That's freedom. Just not that one. But then, when Eve got into a dialogue with the devil, guess what? She quotes God, but she forgets one key word. And I don't know if you can notice it, but she said, quote, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But what word did she leave out? Freely. She left out the word freely, right? In other words, it's kind of implying that maybe God is holding out on her. Maybe God is holding something back. And there was more, of course, because it goes on that that which God said, because this is what we think. Maybe the thing that God said no to, yeah, that must be the very thing that I want and that will bring me fulfillment and satisfaction. But what happened? The moment Eve started to question the goodness of God, the moment she did that was the moment she became open to disobeying God. You see, this is interesting because you start questioning the motives of God. You start questioning his goodness. And you start saying, well, maybe it's that thing that God said no to. And it's funny because yesterday, you know, I was talking to a group of people at the service, and it's interesting. There's so many things people are chasing. Again, they could be chasing wealth. And you can accumulate all this wealth. And what happens to it? You leave it to your son, and then he goes out and cashes it in for a flat screen TV, right? And where does it end up? Someone's garage sale. What about your health? Same thing, right? Again, I have cheaters now in just about every room of my house because my eyes are going out. Doctor tells me to wear a mouth guard. Why? Because I'm wearing my teeth out. And one of these days, I don't know what's going to happen. But what are you chasing? You're chasing the automobile? Go ahead. Whatever it is, when you get it, guess what? 6 months later, 6 weeks later, 6 days later, it'll just be a car and a payment, hopefully. Hopefully you don't at least have a payment. But anyway, I mean, you can chase whatever you want, but as we used to say in the 80s, it's all going to burn. It's all going to end up at the dump, including this thing, right? And as you go, even if you stay in good health, of course, without the giver of life is what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm not saying that those things aren't nice, we shouldn't enjoy, because every life is a gift. All of you in this room are gifts to each other. You need to enjoy each other. You need to enjoy your friends and your children, your grandchildren, your parents, whatever it is. Yes, enjoy it, but just know that without the giver, it's all empty, right? But we get on this road, and the moment Eve started questioning the goodness of God, remember, is God good? Is he good? Yes. So when things happen in our life that we don't know and we don't understand, what do? We fall back on what we do know. What do we know? You just told me. God is good. Does he love you? Is he going to care for you? Okay. So when you don't know what to do, when you don't understand what's going on, you always fall back on what you do understand, which is God is good. God loves me. Jesus is for me. Okay, so this is what happened, though. The moment that Eve started to question the goodness of God, the moment she started questioning the goodness of God was the moment that she started to become, or it started to become easier for her to disobey the will of God. In fact, you can write that down. When you start to question the goodness of God, it's easier to disobey the will of God. The moment Satan started to question God's word, guess what? She started to wonder, well, is God really good? And the deceiver questioned God's word. The second thing that he does, and guess what? There's only two main points today, so some of you are going to be excited, right? The second thing the deceiver did was twisted God's word. He twisted God's word. Eve said, we can eat from any tree except that one, or we're going to die. And then the serpent says in verse 4 and 5, you won't surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You will be like God. Do you know that that's exactly what Lucifer wanted in the first place? He wanted to just be like God. What's interesting is the way that he twists the word in that Eve was already created in the image of God. We were both, right? And she was already a reflection of the heart of God. And yet the serpent twists it and says, did God really say that you could be like God. And this is exactly what the evil one does today. Over and over and over again, he will twist God's word. Oh yeah, God is love. That's true. But if God is love, then he'll understand that you just, you know, you're just weak in this area. You just do whatever you want. Besides, Scripture says that thou shalt not judge. So, you know what? You shouldn't judge. Nobody can judge you for what you're doing. It's your life. Hey, you can do whatever you want with your life. And besides, Eddie, he'll forgive you, right? I mean, he's going to forgive. God wants you to be happy, Eddie, so do whatever makes you happy. And so he attacks the authority of God's word in our life. And here's what I hope that some of you will understand. And maybe you don't. I'm going to guess that if you do, you don't really. Because if you did, you'd do something about it. Okay? But here's the thing. You're under attack. You're under attack. The evil one is coming after your family. He's coming after your finances. Maybe he's even coming after you physically. Maybe even coming after your children. But you are under attack. And you don't even pay attention. Let me say this. If someone breaks into your house and comes after your family, what are you going to do? Yeah. He's going to wake up Liz and she's going to open her purse and bring out an Uzi probably, right? Let me tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to sit up in my bed and go, well, I hope they don't go down the hallway towards the children. Or, Serena, quick, do something, you know. That was funny because one time Faith told me that, because her and my son Josh lived together, and she said that she thought she heard something downstairs, and then she goes, Josh, did you hear that? He said, yeah, go see what it is. I think that's kind of funny. But I mean, if someone comes into your house to attack your family, I hope you would be like me. I mean, you'd turn into Charles Bronson, and most people probably not don't even know who that guy is anymore. But maybe Jackie Chan, Rambo, Jason Bourne, or how about Popeye the Sailor Man, right? Work with me. But here's the thing. I can turn a lamp into a ninja weapon. Right? Because if somebody comes into my house to hurt us, to hurt someone in our family, you know what? We can be your worst nightmare. And guess what? We're just going to be like Jason, right? We're going to come back from the dead every time. But here's the thing. You need to recognize every now and then, the pastor needs to make you understand that, guess what? Maybe I'm a little bit spiritually dull right now because I'm not doing anything. Maybe I didn't realize this, but guess what? I am under attack. And I need to say, devil, not today. Not my house, not my family, not my finances, not my health, right? No, devil, there is no place here for you because I'm going to fight back in the name of Jesus. I fight back in the name that is above every other name, in the name by which every demon must flee. We fight back in the name of Jesus, right? And I'm not just going to sit here and tolerate it, hoping for the best. Well, I hope this is just going to get better. No. We got to do something. We got to be on our knees. Not today, devil. Not my house. Not this time. Not this Jesus follower. Amen? And I know who I am. I know what I have in Christ. And I have the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwelling inside of me. So you're in a battle, you need to recognize it. A lot of people don't even know where their Bible is. The good news is that we battle not against flesh and blood, the Bible says. We also don't use earthly weapons. We have a spiritual weapon that Ephesians chapter 6 talks about, right? He said, you've got the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, right? Notice, these are all good things. You got the breastplate of righteousness. You have the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts. You've got the belt of truth. You've got shoes shod with the gospel of peace, the readiness of peace. And we have one offensive weapon that it mentions there. Do you know what that one weapon is? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Yeah. The sword of the Spirit, it's the Word of God. Your only offensive weapon in this passage is the Word of God. And some of you, you get out of church, toss it on the back dashboard of your car, and you don't get it out until next week. How sad. You don't even realize you're in a battle. So what I hope that you'll understand is that the Bible is not just some little book to teach you how to be nice and kind. The Word of God is your greatest offensive weapon in life, wielded against the forces of darkness in every spiritual battle that you fight. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. In the Bible, there are two different types of swords. One is actually used in a battle. Remember the time, well, about the time this was written, but there was a really big sword that would, you'd have to pick it up and swing it with both hands. Remember, this is the kind of sword that David used. Remember, after he took it off of Goliath, and he cut off Goliath's own head with his own sword. How many know that's pretty cocky, right? Just saying, you know. But there was another type of swords that were shorter swords. They were sharp on both edges, right? It was known as the gladius. The gladius. Now, what do you think of when I say gladius? Probably one of the best movies ever, right? The Gladiator, that was awesome. But that's the thing. It was the gladius. It was used in hand-to-hand combat. When your enemy got close, you would draw the gladius, which is to say the gladius makes, again, me think of that awesome victory. I don't know if you other guys love that movie. Yeah, but it was a good movie. Ladies, are you feeling it? No? Okay, never mind. But anyway, sharper than any two-edged sword. Remember that. Maybe Taylor. Taylor knows like every movie and every every line in every movie ever made. But what we do on Earth echoes. Yeah, I knew you would know that. Gladius, sharper than any two-edged sword. Right? And Hebrews chapter 4 tells us, for the Word of God is alive, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So it's how we do battle against the evil one. It's how we fight back with the spoken word of God, the sword of the Spirit. That's how Jesus did battle against Satan in the wilderness after 40 days. Remember that passage, right? Jesus has been fasting and praying for 40 days in the wilderness, and 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus is communing with his Father. He's seeking God and denying himself physical nutrition. And you know that he's weak, right? How many of you can't even skip one meal without getting complaining? And Serena's funny. She actually does. There is a real thing as hangry, right? Serena gets hangry sometimes. But I mean, I get grumpy too. But I mean, imagine 40 days and 40 nights. It's probably his most vulnerable moment. And what does the devil do? He attacks Jesus when Jesus is weak. And he attacks and he comes again in different ways. And some of you may say, well, you know, I haven't been attacked in a long time. Well, maybe it's because you're not doing anything, right? Listen, because when you do something, the devil attacks, right? When you're bold with your faith, the devil attacks. When you're generous with what you have, the devil attacks. When you're glorifying God in worship, the devil attacks. When you don't just go to church, but you are the church, the devil attacks. When you are using your gifts to serve and make a difference somewhere, guess what? The devil will attack your life. But Jesus was glorifying God. The devil comes in waves, 1, 2, and 3. Wave number 1, the devil says, hey, Jesus, you look hungry. Yeah, you look really hungry. You know, God loves you. He's a miraculous God. Why don't you just turn these stones into biscuits and gravy? Into a double-double with cheese fries and a strawberry shake. Mmm, sounds yummy, right? Why don't you just turn this into Krispy Kreme donuts? Those are the new pastor's version of the Bible, okay? But he says, turn these stones into bread. And what did Jesus do? Come on, what did Jesus do? He took out his gladius, the sword of the Spirit. And he said, it is written. So if Jesus, God the Son, used his sword to fight against the enemy, what's the best tool that you have? What's the best hope? What's the best chance that you have to fight off the enemy? It is written. He took out the word. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. And then the devil came to him again and says, okay, no. Here we go. How about this, Jesus? Just look out over all that, the kingdoms of the world. I will give them to you if you just bow down and simply worship me. You can have all this. Jesus, it can be all about you. And I want to throw this out there. Isn't that what our life really is? I mean, come on. Isn't it all about you? Remember, God loves you so much that he thinks about you more than you do, which is amazing because we all think about ourselves so much. But he tried to say, it can be all about you, Jesus. Unfortunately, where most Christians are living. And Jesus says, get away from me, devil. He draws his little living sword and the word of God. And what does it say? He says, it is written, worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. And the devil left, and the angels of God came and ministered to Jesus, it says. It's the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit. Psalms 19, David said, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. In other words, your word is part of me, and he says it dwells within me. How do you get the word of God into your heart? How does the word of God get into your heart, people? It gets in there because you daily study and enjoy spiritual nourishment with the word of God. And if I can be really honest, the problem for so many of us is that we don't even know, again, where our sword is. You don't know where it is. And I got it somewhere in here. I mean, it's in my bedroom. It's in the drawer. Maybe it's on the bookshelf. I saw it another day when I was cleaning out the garage when we got back from so-and-so's dedication or whatever it is. I know it's somewhere in here. And some of you, of course, use your mobile devices. That's really cool. If it isn't, you can use it. I mean, it's a great way, of course, because we know where our Instagram is. We know where our, you know, Snapchat or our Facebook or whatever you guys are into, that whatever it is, you know where that folder is, right? You know where that app is. Do you know where your Bible app is? And even if you're not good at reading, you can get a Bible app now. It'll read to you, okay? So at least do that. Right, John? Amen. So what do we do, guys? The first day of the week, we worship God. The first, you know, the first year, first of the year, maybe fast, seek God. First of our finances, our increases, we give to the Lord, our tithe. And we just love him every single day. So we open our hearts up to God in prayer, and we open the word all the way open, and we let it fillet our life. Split it right open. Lord, whoa, I should close my eyes more often. I'll probably fall. But we have to just open ourselves. What does the word do? Guess what? The word convicts us when we stray. Mm-hmm. The word directs us into God's will. Comforts us when we're hurting. Encourages us to become who we are in Christ. It equips us to be, you know, or I should say to do the perfect will of God. The word reminds us, guess what, Eddie? It's not all about you. It's all about Him. It's living bread. It's spiritual nourishment. We feed on God's word. It's strength to us. And guess what? It washes over us and cleanses us. It changes us to become who God wants us to be. And so I would urge you today, I guess I could say beg you, plead with you, to make this a part of your daily life. Every single morning, spend time with God. Before you do anything else, spend time with God. Or do it late in the evening. Whatever, I guess, I mean, I can't say that because not everybody, for some reason, loves to do that. But I would encourage you, do it anyway. First thing in the morning, spend time with God. Before your feet hit the floor, fall all the way down to your knees. Every single morning. If you know, hey, I'm not good at reading, again, listen to an app. So easy. Why? Because it's alive, it's powerful, and again, it's the only thing that is going to help God transform your life. It is active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and the Word of God is a priority for any Christian. And so what do? When we're in the battle, the fight begins. We open up the Word of God, and whenever you feel a little bit depressed, what do? You quote the Word. Why am I so downcast, O my soul? I put my living hope in the living God. That's what David said. Guess what? You can encourage yourself. Sometimes other people are not going to encourage you. You're going to be a little bit bummed out. But guess what? The Scripture says that David said to himself, why are you so downcast, O my soul? You can encourage yourself. Maybe you're not going to encourage me today, but guess what? I can encourage myself. When your family is under attack, what do you say? Quote, no weapon formed against us will prosper. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When you think, I can't make it another day, the Bible says, I will not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time I will reap a harvest. If I do not give up, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. When the diagnosis is not good, I believe that all things are possible with God. I believe that the Bible says by His stripes we are healed. See, when you're not sure what you're going to do, the Bible says, I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct my paths. When I feel ashamed after what I did, the Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When I confess my sins, 1 John 1:9, God is faithful and just, and He will forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen, when your marriage or your relationships are under attack, you draw the sword and you say, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth. Love always hopes, love always trusts, love always protects, and these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, the love of my Savior Jesus Christ, which dwells in me. So not today, devil. Not today. You're not going to rob what God has blessed me with today. If you're like me, when you got up, you're probably thinking, oh, my joints hurt. Oh, what an awful day. My sinuses are all cut up. The guy down the street partied all night, and all I hear was boom, 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 boom. So what am I going to do? I have to wake up and preach, Lord. And I wake up, I'm like, I don't feel good today. No. Remember, encourage yourself. Talk to yourself. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, right? What is that? That is His Word. We need to encourage ourselves with His Word, right? The sharp two-edged sword came from Jesus' mouth. It needs to come out from yours. Remember, in Revelation, John says this, his head and his hair were like white as wool, white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were polished like bronze refined in the furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and here it is, a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. And I'll say it again, a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. What came out of his mouth, John? A sharp two-edged sword. See, a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. What was he doing? Even Jesus was speaking the word of God. He was doing spiritual battle. He was speaking the word just like his Father did in the beginning. God spoke and created the universe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. God initiated because of his love. He didn't just stand there. The Word, he birthed something, and I'm hoping that today it's going to birth something in your life, because God became flesh. God the Son became flesh in the man Jesus Christ, and what? Dwelt. Again, he tabernacled. He set up his tent in your camp. Remember, the Jewish fathers used to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. For a whole week, they would set up these little tents, these little tabernacles with their kids, and camp outside and look up at God's creation, the stars, under the stars, and talk about God and his love. And guess what? The Bible says, as John would have known about that, John says, God dwelt among us. He tabernacled. God wanted to be like them, set up his tent, because you are his children and he wanted to be with you. So whenever the devil tries to lie, just tell him, get behind me, Satan. I know God's word. It is written. This is who I am in Christ. This is what I have in Christ. You are defeated. I'm not fighting for victory, I'm fighting from victory. Amen. You get behind me, Satan. You are defeated, and you are a foe that Christ has put under his feet. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your grace, the fact that you have defeated Satan and put him under your feet, which makes him under our feet, because we are your children under your authority, Lord. And so we just ask you, Lord, to give us a hunger and a thirst to spend more time with you in this awesome Word of God. It's your way that you effectively have decided to speak and communicate about your grace and your love to us directly, Lord. And so we thank you. I pray that you would strengthen those of your children who are here today who want to seek you in a deeper way today, Lord. May this church not be a place where people just go through the motions, but may we, Lord, fall in love with you in a deeper way. And of course, Jesus, if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, I pray that all they would do was be convicted. You can know today that Jesus Christ is putting conviction on your heart, that you being here isn't some random set of circumstances, but it is his heart reaching out to you. If you don't know him and you'd like to do that, you can pray a simple prayer by asking Jesus, please forgive me. Come into my life, Lord. Wash me and cleanse me and give me your Holy Spirit so that I can serve you all of my days. Thank you, Lord. For those of us, Jesus, who need to seek more of you every day, I pray for conviction. I pray for empowerment. I pray for us to be encouraging one another, Lord, and just spurring each other on. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you that today we're able to be here. We're able to serve you. We're able to walk into this place when so many other people in this world, Lord, are suffering. Help us not to take that for granted. Use our bodies as your tools, Lord, to reach this world. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, amen. Abulule, if some of you are old enough to remember that. All right, so come on down. Let's have the ushers come down to receive the Lord's tithes and our offerings. And notice I always say receive, because we never want to take an offering, because we're not taking from God's people, right? We're here just to receive what God's hilarious and cheerful givers are going to give to him. So, Lord, again, use these resources to further your kingdom, to bless your people and this community, Lord. And we thank you for today and the privilege it is to be able to worship and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's hard to break into a song like this that you like. You know, it's like, well, we could just stand here for the next 4 minutes and listen to it. But anyway, thank you that you are blessing us, worshiping with us. And I pray that you'd go out there and be a light and be a witness for Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless.